KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Golda's Balcony, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from March 10th through April 1st at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Golda's Balcony is the final work for Tony Award-winning playwright William Gibson. The play is a portrait of Golda Meir, an Israeli teacher, kibbutznik, stateswoman, and politician, and the fourth elected Prime Minister of Israel. Again, that's Golda's Balcony, March 10th through April 1st at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Gospel of Loving Kindness at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center in Portland. The Gospel of Loving Kindness is a play by Marcus Gardley based on the true story of 15-year-old Hadiyah Pendleton, who was killed in Chicago after performing at the presidential inauguration in 2013. This play runs from March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. Again, that's The Gospel of Loving Kindness, March 10th through April 9th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, 5340 North Interstate in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events. And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. Coming up is Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre. And I am privileged as well as contractually obligated to inform you that this program has been made possible by KBOO members and a grant from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting an evening with contemporary Brazilian singer Soy Jorge, performing a tribute to David Bowie as seen in the Wes Anderson film The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou on June 21st. Tickets and info for Soy Jorge are available at zooconcerts.com.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, March 17th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm everywhere. A little weather today. As we said yesterday, without really believing it, today, chance of showers, overcast skies, highs around 54, and light winds. So tonight brings overcast skies continuing, and it's going to be a bit brisk, 38 degrees and lower as we proceed east. Tomorrow, rain in the afternoon, patchy fog, and a high around 52. Friday night, again, same pattern, chance of showers, overcast skies, 48 degrees, but there's a fairly good chance that we will see a little bit of rain. And Saturday continues, the high near 53, Saturday night, about all the same things, low around 41, sunny on Sunday morning with a high around 54, and Sunday night, mostly clear skies, and a low around 39. That's takes us through the weekend and into Monday morning. That said, we have an extraordinary guest again, but we do live in extraordinary times. would love to say they were interesting, but they're interesting in a dangerous way. But we are certainly revisiting the phrase, the banality of evil, in many different forms. We have, of course, the strangeness of the wiretapping accusations to kick off the week. And then to wrap up this very, very strange week, Donald Trump came out with his budget, which leads one to believe that for a guy who claims to be this multi-billionaire, he doesn't know a hell of a lot about money. It just appears that way. Many people confuse the terms financial and economic, and at a certain level, those two terms do coincide, but not at the level we're talking about here. We're talking about the budget of a nation the size of the United States of America, a nation which is increasingly resembling a sort of third world banana republic. No disrespect to bananas. My guest, James Henry, is a leading economist, attorney, consultant, investigative journalist. He's written extensively, spoken on the problems of tax, justice, development, finance, and the environment, which many people would not include in that algorithm. He's active in so many fronts and in such extraordinarily intelligent, progressive, witty ways. It's hard to keep up. And we're not even going to really try in the little time that we do have. But Trump's budget is certainly a piece of work. Mainly it's a statement, appears to be a statement of exactly who Trump sees himself as. So I don't know. Pretty much every other headline in the news today in some way is congruent with the topics that Mr. Henry has addressed on many occasions. Now, of course, there's a great deal to speak about. Interestingly enough, too, the David K. Johnson has been, of course, has worked with Mr. Henry, and has been also a part of these revelations that came out this week. So, enough said there. Good morning, James. Thank you so much for being with us. Welcome back.
Good to be with you.
It's great.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. This is certainly an odd world. You came out recently with the Curious World of Donald Trump's Private Russian Connection. So we have all of these issues this week. I don't know. I don't like to use the word issues, but we've got the wiretapping, we've got the budget, and all of those pesky Russian connections are there. And there's more and more and more coming out. Recently, in the New Yorker magazine, there was an extensive analysis and look at deeply into some of Trump's antics in Azerbaijan, in Baku. Doc is one of those don't get me started topics, but all of this has led us deeply into Trump's entanglements with Iran, and again Russia props up throughout all of these narratives. But this budget of Trump's, were you surprised in any way? When all of this was revealed, they whipped off the magic cloth, and there it was, sitting on a pedestal.
Well, the budget is consistent with his pattern of going after the defenseless, which is not only poor people and labor and elderly people who can't afford health care, or people in countries like Haiti that are going to be directly impacted by his cutbacks in foreign aid, but also the planet, the environment. I mean, this is the deepest cutbacks were to the $5.6 billion EPA budget, which was already you know, pretty modest as a share of the federal government's total spending. He's increasing military spending by about $54 billion, and the entire EPA is 5.7. So, you know, he's hacking that by close to 30%, 3,000 jobs, much of this aid to states and their environmental programs are going to be hit by this. So, you know, the Congress is going to take a look at this budget. It's this, I would call it brutalitarianism.
Yeah.
But they're going to take a look at this, and, you know, the, certainly a lot of the cuts to agriculture spending, part of agriculture, are going to be salvaged by the Republican Party. But at the end of the day, I mean, the programs that are probably going to have the hardest time surviving are indeed these programs for people who don't have lobbies in Washington like the farmers do. But they're going to be, you know, the people who are actually many of whom maybe even voted for President Trump, people, and as he admitted this week on an interview with Tucker Carlson.
That was wonderful.
You know, his favorite preppy. You know, his own constituents are going to get hurt by these cuts. People in rural areas, you know, where people don't have medical care as easily provided and are more dependent on some of the government programs that he's hacking. So, I'm not surprised anymore by anything that this president does. I mean, the only thing that surprises me is that we have him to deal with, and we have to see how long that'll last.
Yeah, before before Trump implodes, a couple of questions, things that what drove that the number that Trump came up with for his military spending. Man, Trump does not. He's certainly a bully, and he's certainly bellicose in every way, but he doesn't seem to be a particularly military type of a guy. I don't think that he understands entirely what the military does besides wiping small defenseless nations off the face of the earth and utterly destroying them and causing waves and waves of desperate immigrants to wash across the world from one refugee camp to another. So why, what, is there anyone besides the big marquee names who are working on that number?
Well, I think that what he's trying to put together here is a political alliance. In other words, he's playing very much to...
What, with himself?
No, I mean a traditional kind of hardline, even, you know, proto-fascist alliance of the military, the police, on the one hand, you know, on the other hand, bashing the poor. So isn't the first time this formula has been applied. It's sort of pretty, you know, pretty classic in many ways for authoritarian political leaders to assemble that kind of coalition of a law and order, you know, aggressive sort of spending on military. It's also, you know, by the way, very profitable for the defense industry and for contractors that have basically taken over a lot of the national security roles from federal employees. I mean, federal employment has actually not grown in about 30 years. If you actually look at the number of full-time federal employees, that's not where the growth of employment. It's all been at the state and local level. So, you know, this idea that he's going to, you know, have an enormous amount of slack in the federal system is ridiculous. But he's leaving a lot of positions in the federal government completely unfilled. So many parts of the federal government that provide vital services to people are basically on in a holding pattern until he can fill. He's the slowest transition in history.
But do you, that is an important question I wanted to ask you about. By leaving all of these posts and filled empty, power devolved back to Washington, really, to himself. So the fewer it would look like there is there's a relationship here between those empty posts and the power that Trump and his cronies wield.
I think what you
that's
have
scary.
To this comes back to the point of a lot of articles that I've been writing lately about his Russian connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's wrong to sort of expect Trump's policies to make fundamental sense in any ideological way, even to Republicans or hardcore conservatives. The point of a lot of his policies is simply to interject what Italians call the strategy of tension into the American political system. And so if you believe, as I do, that he is operating to implement somebody else's agenda, mm-hmm. the whole point is chaos. The whole point is to interject all kinds of tension into U.S. relationships with our closest neighbors like Mexico, big social divides domestically to exacerbate our tensions about how to deal with immigrants. All of these matters are really, I think, what's going on here. It's wrong to say that he's doing this on the basis of some well thought out, deeply logical plan.
Well, somebody, there's of course Steve Bannon.